If you'll turn with me in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians, all right? Chapter 5. And we'll do this very quickly. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. And I want to read one verse, but I want you to keep your Bible open, all right? Because we'll be looking at several verses in here, and we'll do this as quick as possible, all right? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. And let's do go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you for the privilege that we have being here now tonight. Thank you, Father, for Open Door Baptist Church and for these wonderful people. We've got acquainted with them, and we just appreciate them so very much. And certainly we love Dr. and Mrs. Weigel. We pray that here at their celebrating their wedding anniversary, that you'll give them a wonderful time. And we'll ask all of this in Christ's name. Amen. I guess the immediate effect of these words can make us thoroughly discouraged. It just simply says, pray without ceasing. After all, I'm not perfect, nor are you, and how can I do that? I have a very busy life, and I'm certainly you have a very busy life. I can't be in church all the time, and perhaps we even work, as Mrs. Porter was telling me about Jeb this evening. I can't be in my prayer closet. And yet, it must be possible for us to pray without ceasing. Otherwise, Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, would not have placed this in the written Word of God. So, what does it mean then, very quickly, to pray without ceasing? Well, I think it means several things. Number one, I think it means to live in all of our waking moments in communion with God. I think it means something else, and I certainly like this. It means to practice the presence of God, a moment-by-moment fellowship with our Lord, to practice the presence of God. I read something here, I don't know, maybe a year ago, maybe a little bit more, that simply said, you know, leave your phone off the hook and let God speak to you. Well, this is God's plan for my life, and this is God's plan for your life, to pray without ceasing. Now, I want you to see tonight from this portion of the Word of God some of the benefits that you and I have as a believer to pray without ceasing, the benefits that you and I enjoy as a child of God. And so let us tonight hear from His words, just share with you some of the benefits that we have when we learn this truth, when we learn this principle, to have a moment by moment fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. Look back up in verse 14 and 15 and note what it says. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men. See that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. So, when we learn this truth to pray without ceasing, one of the benefits is this. Here is the secret of a Christ-like life. Let me repeat that. Here is the secret of a Christ-like life. Now, we have here in these two verses a beautiful portrait of what we Christians ought to be like. It tells us there in verse 14 that we're to warn them that are unruly. That word unruly means out of step. I wonder, how many was in the service? Anyone? Anyone in the service? Are you in the service now, sir?
Yes, I am.
Where are you stationed?
Robinson.
Okay, I was just through there just here a couple of weeks ago. One thing in service, at least in boot camp, you learn how to march. and they place great emphasis upon marching correctly. Am I right? Great emphasis. And they do not want you out of step. And so here is a military term that we are to warn them that are out of step. Those that are doing wrong, we are to warn them and to encourage them to do right. The book of Galatians chapter 1 and verse 6 tells us those that are overtaken in a fault, we are to restore them. Now, badness is good at running people down after they have fallen and really making it worse. But the Word of God teaches us that we are to restore them. We are to help them. Not only that picture of warning them that are unruly, but it says comfort the feeble-minded. Now, this does not mean mentally have one that would have a mental problem. It means faint-hearted. Those who easily get discouraged. Those that easily want to quit. And we are to comfort them. And that word comfort there, it does not mean that I am to scold them that way, but we are to speak very tenderly to those and encourage them to continue on. Then it says support the weak. Stand by those who need the strength. You know, a newborn Christian, do they not need our support? In a newborn Christian, they're not going to behave like a Christian that's been saved for years and for years. They need to be encouraged and they need to be supported. Then it says be patient to all men, not touchy, not hot-tempered, but to be patient. And then do not render evil for evil. How many of us remember the old bumper sticker? Some of us that are a little bit older certainly may remember that. And it's, you know, I don't get mad, I just get even. All right, we're not to do that. We're not to do that. And then follow that which is good. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our example, and we're to follow him. I think also about Barnabas. I like Barnabas. Barnabas is described as a good man, and we are to follow, certainly, our Lord. And then we're to do this to all. We're to be like this to everybody every day. Now, this will not happen until we learn this principle, until we learn this truth that we are to pray without ceasing. We're to pray without ceasing. Well, let me give you another truth here found in verse 16. Let's look at it. Rejoice evermore. Here's the secret of constant joy. Rejoice evermore. Be happy. Do you realize that God wants us to be happy? Really, we really are to be happy. Even in the midst of adverse circumstances, God wants us to be happy. I think about Paul and Silas. Remember their circumstance? They were in jail, and there at the midnight hour, and even before that, what were they doing? They were singing, and they were praising the Lord. And so we as Christians, we are to rejoice, even in the adverse circumstances that you and I might be going through, we're still to rejoice in the Lord. I read this, and the quote was this, that a child of God has no right to go around and be a sourpuss. A child of God has no right to go around and be a sourpuss. Now, the thing about it is this. If I cannot find anything to rejoice about, what I need to do is get back into the Word of God and begin to read the Word of God, and it is there I'm going to find those things that I need to rejoice about. Now, listen, this will only take place rejoicing even in the midst of adverse circumstances when we learn this principle to pray without ceasing. Let me give you another one found in verse 18. In everything give thanks. Here's the secret of thanksgiving. But note the word everything. Everything. Now, do we not have a lot to be thankful for? We really do. I mean, here in America, I know that all the problems and the difficulties that that is happening, whether it be politically or religiously, all of those things are taking place. But we, as born-again believers, we have so much to be thankful for. I was just contemplating, you know, we ought to be thankful for our Heavenly Father, one that loves us and that cares for us. We ought to be thankful for our Savior, the one who loved me enough and loved you enough that he went to the cross and there he died for you. I ought to be thankful for the Word of God that will guide us and teach us. Then we ought to be thankful for people of God, those around us. You know, aren't we thankful? You know, as a church, you know, we really are a family. Did you know that? We really are a family. We need to be thankful. And then we need to be thankful for one day our heavenly home that we're going to spend all eternity. And so we ought to be very, very thankful. The chorus says, count your blessings, name them one by one, and it will surprise you what the Lord has done. Now, this will only take place when you and I learn this truth and this principle to pray without ceasing. To pray without ceasing. Let me give you another one. In verse 19, quench not the spirit. Here's the secret of a spirit-led life. Now, we realize that when we become a child of God, that the Holy Spirit of God comes and dwells within us. And the Holy Spirit is there to lead us and to guide us and to teach us. Every believer, every child of God has the Holy Spirit of God. And so here is the secret of a spirit-led life, letting the Holy Spirit of God lead us and direct us in our life. Now, here it says that quench not the spirit. The Holy Spirit is pictured as fire. How do you quench a fire? You dampen it down with water. Now, what happens many times in my life, in your life, we do not let the Holy Spirit of God have His way in our life, and we do not follow the leadership of the Holy Spirit of God in our life, and therefore, what happens, we quench the Holy Spirit of God. I'm also reminded in Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 30 that we are not to grieve the Spirit of God. And realize tonight that I can grieve the Spirit of God and you can grieve the Spirit of God. Now, I cannot grieve this pulpit. Did you know that? I can pound on it. I can kick it. I can do whatever I want to. I cannot grieve this pulpit. But you know what? We can grieve people. I remember one time, Mr. Hall, he knew my parents well. And one time as a kid, 15 or 16-year-old kid, and I don't know why I said it. I didn't mean it, but I said it nevertheless. I told my mother, you know, as I was probably 14 or 15, and I had a little argument. You know, you never did that to your parents, I'm sure. And I had a little argument with my mother, and I said, Mother, and I don't know why I said this. It just came out. Mother, I hate you. Immediately, I saw the countenance of my mother change. I saw the tears come down her cheek, and I went over to her and I hugged her. I said, Mother, I love you. I didn't mean to say that. I'm sorry, Mother. I am sorry. My mother's been deceased now some 16 years, and many times I can see that mental picture of my mother, her countenance changing when I said those words. And I want you to realize that, you know, I grieved my mother on that occasion. I'm sure I did it on others as well. But you know what? You and I can grieve the very Spirit of God. We can grieve the very Spirit of God. And so, as a child of God, if we're going to have the Spirit of God lead us and direct us, then we need to know this principle and this truth that we need to pray without ceasing. And then let me give you another one in verse 20. Despise not prophesying. Here's the secret of glad obedience. The word prophesizing, it means forthtelling. Not foretelling. I did not come to you tonight with some new revelation to give to you, but I come forthtelling, giving to you the Word of God. And when the Word of God is read, when the Word of God is preached, when the Word of God is taught, then we ought to obey the Word of God. We ought to be quick to obey the Word of God. And if our life is going to be happy, and if our life is going to be content, then I need to learn to obey the Word of God. I learned very quickly as a 15 or 16-year-old kid growing up in just outside of Detroit, Michigan, that when I was obedient to my mother and my father, I got a whole lot more. I could go to my dad and say, "Dad, you know, can I borrow the car tonight? It's youth meeting." "Yes." I said, "Dad, can I have some money to put gas?" Now, gas back then was probably 50 cents a gallon. I don't know, 75 cents a gallon, something like that. And, "Yes, I can give you money. But, Dad, afterwards, we're going to McDonald's. We're going out to eat. Can I have some money to do that?" "Yes." Only when that happened when I was obedient to my mother and my father. And the same principle is true that when we are obedient to our Lord Jesus Christ, God blesses us. Let me give you another one. Verse 21. "Prove all things. Hold fast that which is good." Here's a secret of spiritual discernment. Only as we pray without ceasing will we be able to distinguish between truth and error. You know what? There's so much error today, is there not? Thank God for Dr. Weigel's. Thank God for churches like this. And thank God for Heritage, where the Word of God, the truth of the Word of God is given. And so if we're going to walk in the truth, if we're going to have spiritual discernment, the truth of the matter is that I need to learn this principle of spiritual discernment. Then let me give you another one, and the last one. Isn't that a good word, the last one? But the problem is preachers do not know what that means sometimes, okay? I had a good friend. Many years, Bob will remember Colonel Jackson. He was a black preacher. He had a church downtown Indianapolis. He was a retired colonel out of the Army. And he was a great preacher, a great preacher. I think my mother loved him more, his preaching, than she did mine. Oftentimes when he was at our church, and we had him often, they would come down from Detroit to hear Colonel Jackson. But he would have his first closing and his second closing and his third closing. Never got too excited about until he came to his fifth closing, and then you pretty well knew that he was closing. Well, the truth of the matter is I'm going to close on this last one. In verse 22, says, "Prove all things," or verse 22 rather, "abstain from all appearance of evil." And then in verse 44, verse 24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." Now there's a call upon my life, and there's a call upon every one of your lives this evening for purity and holiness. There's a call on every one of our lives for purity and holiness. Not only is there a call upon my life, but there is the provision that God will help me to live this type of life. Now, there is something that I must do. You notice in verse 22, it says, "abstain from all appearance of evil." Now, the truth of the matter is this, that is not difficult and that is not hard to do if I am praying without ceasing. If I'm learning that principle, then to abstain from all appearance of evil is not a difficult thing, is not a hard thing to do if I am praying that way. And then notice what God will do. You look at verse 23, it says, "And the very God of peace will sanctify you wholly." Now, my purpose this evening is not to get in a huge dissertation of sanctification. The word sanctified simply means to be set apart for God's exclusive use. There is a positional sanctification that takes place once and for all. But I think here it's talking about this aspect of growing and maturing in the grace and the knowledge of Almighty God. A daily dealing with my sin, a daily dealing with your sin, and growing in holiness in our life. And when we learn this truth and we learn this principle to pray without ceasing, then God will do that for us. 1964-65, I left for Baptist Bible College in Springfield, Missouri. I'd never been away from home. Never been away from home except to visit my grandparents in the southern part of Kentucky. I loved home. I loved mother and dad. We had a great, wonderful relationship. And so I was excited about going to college. I was excited about going, but Baptist Bible College was 900 miles away. And I can remember, I told my mother and dad, you know, I'm an adult now. I just turned 18 years old the day before. And I said, I'm an adult now. I did not know I was so green. But anyway, it was time to leave. And I told my parents before, about a week before, that they didn't have to take me to college, that I was going to ride the bus from Detroit to Springfield, Missouri, and my brother was going to take me to the bus depot. And on the day that we were getting ready to leave, it was my brother had come, the luggage had been packed, and my mother said, come back into the living room with me. And I walked in, she said, take your shoe off, and I took my shoe off, and so you see, I had $75. Now, that was Baptist Bible College at that point, was tuition free, and all you paid was your board and room, and that was it. It was only $35. Can you believe that? $35 a month. And so I had enough money for 3 months, and if I didn't get a job, I had mother and dad I could always rely on. But anyway, she said, come back in, and I did. And she said, sit down, and I did. She said, take your shoe off, and I did. And she said, I want you to put your money in the bottom of your shoe. And I did, and it was time to walk out. And my mother, and she looked at me, and she pointed her finger at me. And she said, I want you to change your underwear every day. I said, now, Mother, I've been changing my underwear, well, almost every day at least. And so it was time to leave. It was on a front porch like this. And I went over to my mother, and I hugged her, and she began to bawl, and I began to bawl. We were hugging and kissing one another, and my mother said, you be a good boy. I said, I will, and all of this. And it was time to say goodbye to my dad. You see, I'd never seen my dad cry a day in my life. My dad was a good man. He was a wonderful man, but I'd never seen him cry. And I put my hand out, and he grabbed my hand, and he hugged me. He was about, what, 5'9", 5'10". He was bigger than I was. And he held me, and I felt those hot tears fall from his cheeks onto mine. And he said, now, David, I want you to be a good boy. I want you to study hard. And I said, Dad, I will. I will. Now it was time to leave, and I walked off the porch, and it was almost at the same time they said, you can call us collect anytime you want to. That was before cell phones and all the other. You can call us collect anytime you want to. And I said, I will. And I got into the car. We drove downtown Detroit and got on the bus, and I literally cried all the way to St. Louis, Missouri. And when we arrived the next afternoon, about 12 or 1 o'clock in Springfield, Missouri, I got off the bus, I got my luggage. You know, the first thing that I did, I found me a phone booth. I found me a phone booth. And there, I said, operator, this is collect call from David Halcombe. The number's Garfield 26925. And she dialed that, and I heard her say, this is a collect call. And on the other end, the operator didn't even get it all out. I'll take the call. I'll take the call. And I want you to realize that I called, and I called, and I called, and I called. I kept calling. I kept calling. Not one time did my mother and dad ever refuse that phone call. You know why? They wanted to hear my voice. They wanted to know how I was doing. They wanted to know if school was going okay. They wanted to know every part of my life. And ladies and gentlemen, this evening, I want you to realize that there's a God in heaven that wants to hear your voice. There's a God in heaven that wants to know everything about you, wants to know your burdens, wants to know your heartache, wants to know all of it. And may we learn this tremendous truth to pray without ceasing. God bless you this evening.